everybody, and welcome back to the Game By Show podcast, where it's April the 18th, 2023. It is my brother's birthday.
Hey, happy tax day, brother.
Yeah, and it's tax day. I thought tax day was like the 15th.
I thought it used to be too. Like, I thought that was one of the like federal like days.
Everyone
like
knew it was the
15th. It did not move with the, you know, the patterns of the moon or anything like that. It was like the 15th. But you're right. Like in the last couple of years, I feel like it's like drifted a little bit, and I'm not sure why.
It's the billionaires. They're doing it.
Yeah.
My taxes were done in February.
Whatever. Yeah, mine too. I paid the tax man again this year. I hate it.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
I made it like a bandit.
Really?
Yeah, like a bandit.
I mean, I guess it's just, it's theoretically, you know, yeah, it's theoretically your own money anyway, but I'd rather not have to like write a check. Actually, they'll let you do it digitally now, so they'll take it right out of your bank account.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
I know.
I think we wrote a check last time. We owed like $5 to the state.
Yeah, there you go, nerds. This year the state bailed me out because I owed a bunch to the feds, and then I got a refund back from the state, and it kind of evened out, so...
I guess that's good.
Yeah, that's all right. I just waited for the state to refund me, and then I just paid from that, so... But it's just not the same. It's just not what I want.
No, nobody wants it. No. Well, happy tax day, happy birthday.
Yeah, by this time, if you're listening to it, it's too late. Rex, by the time you hear this, you're already old. Sorry.
Yeah, I think he's 39.
Oh, wow, 39. A young guy.
Oof. 39.
All right. Well,
shit, is he 39?
Isn't that weird? That's weirder. It's weirder when your family turns the ages that you have been. You're like, oh.
Yeah, like all of my younger siblings are passing, you know, coming, getting closer to... Anyway, I'm the oldest, so... Anyway.
Well, congratulations.
He's definitely 39, 84.
To your entire geriatric clan.
Yeah, my other brother is 8 years younger than me, so he's only 35 this year.
Oh, in the blossom of his youth.
Yes. He's like, wow, what am I going to do with my life? I have so much time left.
Joint pain. Like I'm starting to get, it's like some weird, you know, I don't know, endocrine system issues going on. Like, how does this all fit together? Like, I got to be aware of where the ankle bone connects to the hip bone.
You know, when you're young and you always hear these stories about old people having to get up in the middle of the night and pee. And at some point, you cross that threshold, and you don't necessarily know
when
that
switch
flips.
Yes, exactly. It's super slow.
You don't know when the switch flips, but suddenly, at some point, all of a sudden, you realize it dawns on you one day. You're like, wow,
whoa.
I have to pee every night.
Yeah, so for me, like right now, I think I'm just crossing the threshold. Because like I said, like the stomach thing.
You're
like
a little bit, yeah, okay.
Like gotcha. I am the cautionary tale. Like, I'm not the guy who's been peeing, you know, all night for... you know, 20 years now. This is new for me. So
new.
One day you'll be here as puzzled as I am. As puzzled as I am.
Like, that happen?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
That's the stage I'm at right now. But you know, retro games to me are still like NES and stuff like that. So I think I'm still the right age. I mean, if you're born, you know, later than me, you're too young. If you're born older than me, before me, you're too old. I think right about, I mean, then LeGrand, you're within a couple of years, maybe. I think we're right in the right
spot.
We
are the same age, I think. We're 42.
I am 42, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right, you're just a few months. You're a different year, so you're 81, right?
I'm 80, end of 80.
Oh, no, I'm 80, okay, all right. Well, then we got it right. In all of human history, you know, if you're too far beyond 1980, too young, too far before 1980, too old, this is it. And that's what this podcast is about. That's the energy that we want to bring, is that you...
Yeah, we're bringing that slow old man energy.
Oh, no cancer yet. Just a little bit of weird gas.
Yeah, a little bit of weird gas. The thing is, I don't have to pee every night. It's only when I actually accidentally wake up.
We should learn to use it. So I actually have done that. I've like drank a big glass of water before bed, so that I like have to get up instead of staying, you know, staying in bed. So.
It's probably better for you.
I'm sure
maybe it's
it
because you were dehydrated as a kid, and you're like, wow, I never have to get up in the middle of the night because you never drank enough water. That's the problem. Yeah. When you get old, you're like, man, I feel like shit today. Maybe I should drink some more water.
And it kind of works. Yeah.
It works. You feel better, but you have to pee.
I know.
It's just kind of the trade-off. It's. Listen, kids are dumb. We all know this.
I know.
We all were there. Kids are idiots. And you get older, you realize that.
That's
and
it.
You have different problems.
I love this content. We should change the format of the show and be this all the time. This is what I'm about.
Angry, ranty dad.
Yeah.
Old like middle-aged
like
dad.
Struggling podcast. With our mortality. The slow decay of our bodies.
One day. And we will all rest.
In the meantime, we do just like frivolous video game stuff and collect things and hang them on our walls and accumulate piles of meaningless goods.
You know, watching the Last of Us series, you know, and you see them like go to these old houses and like there's all this weird random stuff in there. You know, like one day, like this is all gonna be gone, right? Like that's just reality.
That's
like
true.
This is all going to be gone, and some dude is gonna uncover this place and find.
Baloney. He's gonna be like, there's no bandages here, there's no alcohol to
no
make
medicine.
Bandages. Yeah, exactly. No pills.
All there is these stupid StarCraft
posters. I got a poster. I love this too, because this is the same topic. This is you watching The Last of Us and being like, I gotta clean out my attic.
Yeah, and this PSP with a blown out battery. I can't even use it.
that's some like real environmental storytelling. Like your skeleton is going to be sitting in a chair next to a PSP with a swollen battery, and it'll be like, oh, this is so poignant.
Like, wow, what is this? This must be something that they worshipped.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh.
Yep, that is. That is it. I watch those zombie shows where they're always just like, you know, foraging for stuff in every place that they can find, and just realize that one day somebody's gonna be foraging in here and they're gonna find jack shit.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna find toothpaste.
Yeah.
Maybe.
This will be one of those drawers that they go and open and there's nothing. You know, in Naughty Dog, you played The Last of Us and you're like, well, there's nothing in any of these drawers.
No drawers. There's not even like a junk drawer.
Yeah.
There's like. It's like
what,
not even like breadcrumbs.
What
in the
are all these
what
USB
waste.
Cables in here? They're not even
the
right
DVI
ones.
DVI to VGA conversion cables that they still got
my,
hanging around.
My
up
box
here.
Of techno junk is going to be someone's just amazing frustration.
My gosh.
That's too real.
I think we should compare junk. Cable junk drawer. I got a crate up here in this closet up here.
I love
it's
that.
Full
that is,
of,
that
full
is
of
gonna be
stuff.
The title of this episode is Let's Compare Junk.
Let's compare junk. Listen, man.
You show me yours and I'll show you mine.
I've got broken headsets up there. I've got like PlayStation 4 headsets that don't have receivers anymore. I've got
coils of coaxial cable. Because you never
RCA
know.
RCA
yeah.
cables.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got like Xbox 360 battery little things that go on the back of the controller, right? I got some of those. Dumb stuff in here, and someone's going to discover this and during the apocalypse, and we're like, wow, what is this box full?
Someone's
going to
find my Star Wars micro machines and be like, this is amazing.
I'm like, wow, this is great. How did they make these? Such precision.
Yeah. Such precision. It truly was a golden age.
Wow, how do they? This must have been aliens.
Yeah. Some dude's hair. All
right,
really good.
Everyone. Yeah. Listen, man, video games. I played on the Nintendo Switch. And I played the Game Boy stuff on the Nintendo Switch, just a little bit, briefly. I played, and I'm just gonna mention this briefly. I was talking some mad shit on Game Boy. I think when you talked about them, like Game Boy games suck, like they all suck. And the reality is, they kind of do a little bit. But I played, I was playing Metroid 2.
Yeah.
And I pulled up one of those game maps of Metroid 2 on the Game Boy on my monitor here. And I was playing through it. I'm like, wow, like this is actually not too bad if you actually know where you're going. Right?
Yeah.
It's actually kind of not a terrible game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been dabbling in the Game Boy. So I haven't been checking that out. So I just want to mention that I beat Metroid Samus Returns last year on the 3DS. And now I'm playing Metroid 2 legit.
Nice.
And I think I might wander my way through that game. I think I've killed maybe 6 or 7 of those little Metroid nerds.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's not long. It's you can get through it pretty quickly, I think.
I'm sure I could probably burn through it, especially with a guide or a map that's just showing me where to go next, right?
Yeah.
Which is how I kind of want to play that game.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I've been playing Overwatch 2 a lot. I'm over a quarter of the way through the Battle Pass.
Wow.
Yeah, that game is... the one thing I really like about Overwatch 2, I'm just going to mention this briefly, is that... first of all, the new character kind of sucks, Lifeweaver.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that last week.
We did,
right?
Yeah. We beat him up.
But the way that their Battle Pass works is that every level is like the set amount of XP. So it's never like... In a lot of Battle Passes, it like increases the further you get along, that it requires more to get to the next level and more to get to the next level. And by the time you get to the end of the Battle Pass, it's taking forever to get a level.
Mm-hmm.
Not an Overwatch, man. Everything is 10,000 XP all the way to the end. And so if you get on every day and play for legit 20 minutes and get your daily challenges done... Chances are you'll finish the Battle Pass in plenty of time. So it's actually been having a good time playing Overwatch with some friends. So that game continues to be amazing. Had some amazing rounds earlier today. Had probably one of the most intense rounds of Overwatch I've had in my life today.
Really?
Wow. Where I had triple the amount of damage as a tank that I usually have. And I had the same amount of mitigation, which never happens, as Sigma. And we had battles that lasted, we had battles that lasted for 5 minutes. And it was just back and forth, and nobody could kill each other. Our healers were just incredibly good. And us as tanks were doing really well. And it was just a fantastic, I ended up losing, but it was one of those games where you don't, you're not mad because like we won a battle with 30 seconds left on the timer, and it gave them enough time to get back to contest the point to win. Mm. And if we would have held out and won that battle 15 seconds later, we would have won the round, but we killed them a little too early. Mm-hmm. And then they came back, and then they beat us off the point.
Yeah.
Everyone used their ultimate abilities. I also checked out Everspace 2. This was brought up a few weeks ago. I think it just came out of early access. It is on Xbox Game Pass. This is the space. I've been hearing people call it Space Diablo, where it's basically a looter RPG game, except for you're flying a spaceship. And so you kit out your spaceship with different weapons and different abilities and different armor pieces and stuff like that. There's like RPG skill trees and things like that you can enhance and grow. And you're basically just kind of dumped into a world. You are a clone and you're flying the spaceship around just trying to get by and doing stuff. And I haven't really played a whole ton of it, but I kind of like the vibe of it. It actually looks really good. I've been playing it with a mouse and keyboard on the PC. I couldn't find it on Game Pass on the Xbox. So I think it is only a PC game, Everspace 2. So I've been playing it with mouse and keyboard. But yeah, you're playing a spaceship. It's in a full 3D environment. It would probably be really cool in like VR. And then you dogfight spaceships.
Okay. Okay. So I was going to ask if it's like Diablo in space, you know, like you're on your foot, but this is like,
it's not like Rogue Galaxy. In that Rogue Galaxy, you're kind of on a 2D plane. And you kind of, people come in from the side and you never really go up and down, you know, and do loops. And you're always on a plane, right? And this is like full 3D, like that Star Wars game.
Free space or something
like
exactly.
that. So you're flying around and so you can, you know, rotate and you can pitch and yaw. And,
so it's first,
you know,
first person then that you're?
No, you're playing on a third person view of your ship.
Okay. It's third person
so
and
right behind your ship. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
First person and no, not first person. You're in third
or
person.
Sorry, third person and 3D. So, but there's depth. There's like up and down. There, and
yeah.
And
yeah. 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 So you're flying or you're dogfighting basically. Yeah. And and the reason why I call it Diablo is because there's loot and there's quality of loot. And there's
how do you manage all of those planes? Cause I know, you know, like Homeworld, right? You've played Homeworld and there's always kind of like that weirdness when you have depth and then try and, you know, when you would
well, because
move
you
ships.
Are that guy, though, it's because you're flying. You are controlling one spaceship.
Yeah, maybe it's not as hard as it seems like.
It's
in
like
my
it's
mind.
Like a kart racer. It's like a Mario Kart, right? You're driving behind the thing. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. Okay.
Know?
All right.
Or like Descent. Like Descent is.
You know, for some reason, I guess I've been thinking like if you fly towards yourself. Anyway, I probably just to
no,
see.
No,
it's
not
probably
like Homeworld. It's not like an RTS like Homeworld where you can't see or
right
or you can't click in a 3D space with your mouse cursor because there's something weird about that. No, you're controlling a third person ship and you have
so it's like,
guns, you have a targeting reticle
like
in front
Wars
of you
Rogue
like a
Squadron
shooter.
Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Right.
Yep, exactly that. And then the looter side, and that's the Diablo tie-in, is that you get weapons that drop, you know, loot, you find loot crates, you do quests, and I haven't really gotten to the point where I'm kind of just playing through the story. And I'm not very far into it. I'm maybe like an hour and a half or 2 hours into it. But you're kind of just accepting quests and flying around to different like dilapidated space stations and meeting with people. And there's lots of characters and lots of dialogue and a story that's going on. And you're like a mercenary. So you're like this trained, you know, soldier or whatever. But something happened and now you're away from the military. And so this whole like space political story, whatever that's going on.
Space stuff.
But the combat's really cool. You're flying around in the spaceship and you have lots of cool weapons, you have abilities and you kind of I'm just kind of playing through that. So it's That's basically all I have to really say about that so far. But it seems pretty good. It looks really cool. Customization's fun.
Does it feel different than play? I mean, I know you're kind of comparing it to Diablo, but it's not really much like Diablo. Does it feel?
I'm comparing it to Diablo in that from the loot side, like
right. Do you find you're getting loot and different qualities of loot, right?
Yeah. Of the same item.
The reason I ask is that when I play, you know, third person isometric character action looter type games, I kind of find that I have kind of less patience with them. You know, like I mentioned it's when we talked about Diablo 4, there's all this dialogue.
It's not an action RPG. It's not an isometric.
So it doesn't have that feel. Like, you don't feel like that.
No, the Diablo comes from...
Just the way that you interact with items. Yeah, I get that.
The way that you interact with items, that you're getting new things, you're applying them to your ship, you're upgrading your gear, you're whatever. Like, that whole RPG
Do you build onto the ship
it.
Cosmetically? Like, do you get to, like, get, like, cool...
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Really?
I haven't gotten that far.
Because that would be cool. Gotten, like, if you start out in, like,
I've gotten, like, several different kinds of weapons, though, and I've applied weapons, and they have, like, skill trees and things like that, so...
That could be cool.
And so, so you'll kill, like, some ships, and then you'll go and loot, or you'll find, like, a crate, and you'll find, like, a shipwreck, and you'll go and you'll loot. And so you never actually get out of your ship. You're always in your ship. And so you drive over to this broken down spaceship that you just blew up or whatever, and then you loot.
Scan it or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You pull in the loot, and then you get items. There's crafting, so you can craft new whatever. And, you know, it's an RPG. It's...
But you're a spaceship. I get it.
You're a spaceship. Yeah. And it's a third person... Picture a third-person shooter, uh-huh. But you're a spaceship, so you're flying around in a 3D space. Like it's
listen, is the Y-axis inverted, or is it properly pull back on the stick to go up?
I'm playing with mouse and keyboard, and I think it probably sucks. It's not the ideal way to play it. A HOTAS, a full setup.
But I think you said only on PC, so could you hook up controller to it and play it that way? Or
yes, and I hear that it's kind of weird because there's a lot of buttons.
Yeah, it's like playing like when Dale starts talking about like... what's it called? The fly game that he likes.
Elite Dangerous.
Like you can play that with a controller, but you.
Yeah.
And it's, and it like, doesn't like, fit well in either.
Yeah. I was thinking it would probably be easier to fly around, but there's so many different buttons and abilities and things like that. It's like, like I was reading up about it. Like, can you use a controller in this game? I just Google searched it and somebody's like, you can, but you're going to want to remap everything and it's probably going to suck. And
there is an interesting class of games like that where it's like it's not really ideal for a mouse and keyboard, but it's not really ideal for a controller, and there's not really something that does just what you want for those games, and I guess this probably fits into that category.
It's the kind where you're like, so your reticle is in the middle, and as you move your mouse to the side, it doesn't snap back. It kind of gives you that
a little bit of play.
It's almost like that you're moving your joystick to the side, and so that's kind of the way that it controls. It's not like it doesn't control like a shooter. It controls like you get a little bit of momentum when you
that's how Rogue Leader and Rogue Squadron were too. I mean, the same kind of idea.
So it's not like you aim and then you're going, like if I move my mouse to the right and then just let go of my mouse, my ship would continue to turn because it's not centered, you know, in the middle. Everspace 2, it's pretty cool. I'd recommend checking it out if you're into those kind of spacey games or into weird RPGs in space.
In space.
With spaceships and missiles and guns and stuff and different loot that drops that makes your ship cooler. And you level it up in an interesting-ish story, I guess. Like, I think it's worth checking out. It's also on Game Pass, so if you have that, might as well go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I actually
I'm sure that homeboy Jared's probably already looked at it.
Yeah, maybe he has.
Anyway.
In fact, Jared mentioned that one of the YouTube premium perks that they're doing right now is Game Pass, but it's the PC only Game Pass. And so I can't stream anything like I'm used to with Game Pass Ultimate, but I also can't upgrade it for less. Like I have to pay the full thing to.
Game Pass is expired. I
let my Game Pass run out and then I was like, oh, well, let me do this Game Pass PC. And I'm it's kind of useless mostly to me, and it doesn't really count.
Because you like to stream.
Yeah, I do. I like to stream a lot. And
you have an Xbox, right? The new Xbox?
No, I've only got the old one because I haven't had to. Because I stream everything. Everything on the only things I want to play are on Game Pass. And I stream them all. But I've got to find out a way to convert my stupid Game Pass PC to Ultimate again.
You should buy like a used Xbox Series S.
I could, but yeah, maybe it might be.
Like, you probably get one for like $200. I kind of
don't need one though. Is the thing? I mean, streaming is like really good for me. So
if you like streaming, if you're okay with that, we've had this argument.
If
before, you're
into
okay
that,
with
that, yeah, Yeah, yeah. Well, the game I played this week is not too different from what you described. If you like to upgrade stuff and, you know, have kind of a story that's kind of almost interesting and, you know, vaguely RPGs. So this was something that came out on the Epic Games Store free game like last week or the week before. And it's called Game Deck. That's G-A-M-E-D-E-C, all one word. And
I think it's Game December. It's just they, short.
Yeah, I know that. So the funny thing is, it actually apparently stands for Game Detective, but I think somebody forgot that it was Game Detective and it's not Game Detective. So it's Game Detective because
It says in the description on Steam, you are a game detective, not detective.
Does it say that? It should say that.
Detective.
I wish that it was Game Detective. But I think the reason for that is that it's actually Polish. So it is a third person kind of isometric RPG adventure game with dialogue and stuff. It kind of reminds me of was it you that was playing Outer Worlds at one point, like the kind of story based
Outer Worlds?
Yeah, wasn't Outer Worlds that was like a not a lot of fighting, but there was kind of some dialogue and stuff like that. Anyway, that's kind of this. And it's based on, I believe
Outer Worlds, was that the Fallout game?
It was kind of like Fallout. Yeah, like old Fallout. Yeah.
No, that's not Outer Worlds. That's, what is that game called? It's not called Outer
not
Worlds.
Not Outer Worlds. That Outer World? I don't remember what it was. Anyway,
Outer Worlds is the game that looks like a Fallout game, like Fallout, 3D Fallout.
Maybe.
There's Outer Worlds, there's Outer Wilds, and then there's this other. I know what game you're talking about. It was Jared's like game of the year.
Yeah, Jared really liked it. I can't remember what it was.
Oh my gosh, dude. Okay, I gotta
this
find it.
This is
then.
Like that.
That's what it kind of looked like to me when you show it.
Yes.
What is that game called?
I can't think of it.
I'm gonna search. I know there's a definitive edition.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I can search for that.
So this game is mostly dialogue based, and it kind of reminds me of something like The Longest Journey or something like that, where it's an adventure game, but there are also it's just very heavy on dialogue, very heavy on story, and it's kind of based on something like the Animus
Disco Elysium.
That's the one. So it's based on this sort of future in Poland. So it actually takes place in Poland because some dude reckons that, you know, there's going to be giant technology cities in Warsaw someday. But you play
probably
as a sort of the Matrix style, you know, inside real life, but also going into the game. So it's also like Ready Player One, I suppose, kind of, except you're also a gumshoe. And you can choose at the beginning from a number of pre-made characters, or you can kind of build your own out of some different portraits or whatever. I chose, and none of them were really appealing either. Like, that was the thing. Like, they were all, like, weird kind of looking people, and I didn't really identify with any of them. But there was one guy who was dressed like Popeye the Sailor. Like, he's got, like, a full-on, like, captain, you know, captain hat, and he's got, like, one ripped sleeve where he's got a, you know, sailor tattoo on there. And I'm like, you know what? This is the future in Warsaw, Poland. I'm going to go into the Matrix and solve crimes. I'm absolutely going to be the captain of a tugboat. I've got like this whole backstory. So the way the game works is it's heavily dialogue based. In fact, everything is based on clicking on objects and you can do, you know, actions to them. But the thing that this kind of reminds me of is when there are sort of narrative-based tools and people will make really interesting and complicated stories with them because the game works on this whole idea of deductions. Like things, dialogue choices that you make are permanent, so you can't just go through the whole tree. If you decide that you're going to do something, it might queue up as a, like, oh, you know, almost like in Telltale games where like someone will remember that, but then it adds it to your available dialogue tree options. And so you sort of get locked in. Like they're really interested in having your investigation, the actions that you take, actually have some, you know, flow to how the story plays out. You can fail things and continue. And it's just very, 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 you know, all that stuff that we always have talked about for years about, you know, oh, I want my dialogue choices to matter. Here they do. And it kind of feels bad. Because you choose something and you're like, well, you know, I didn't want to do that. and you know, suddenly, so far, though, it's mostly worked out. Although I will say that sometimes it's kind of buggy. This is sort of an indie quality kind of game. All of the tools are there. It looks very pretty. The music is fine. The voice acting where it is, there's sort of like, you know, hero voice acting when so, you know, like, oh, get Mr. Game Deck, it's me, Boris, or whatever. And, you know, that's his little spoken dialogue for the whole interaction or whatever. When you start to investigate things, then those will also dictate actions that you can take as well. So it's not just your dialogue choices, but the way that you actually approach your cases also makes a difference. So, for example, if you in dialogue, are given the name of a suspect or a description of the suspect, you can then use those and they will allow you to then take different actions, kind of like you would in I guess that in and of itself is not super novel or anything. But then also I mentioned earlier, like RPG, there's an RPG element. So you will acquire skill points based on four different categories, and they can be social, action, deductive and something else, you know, different points that will rack up. And then you can unlock different abilities to become a different kind of character. So aside from all of your looks and feels and your Popeye hats and your tattoo arms, you can also be all kinds of different, you know, neuromancer style kind of classes. You know, you can be like a cyber surgeon or something, and you can separate characters from their skins or whatever, you know, their in-game personas. You can be a kind of a more deductive reasoner. You can be a hacker. You can, you know, and that'll unlock different abilities for you to not only pursue dialogue but to pursue actual actions that you know, you can fight characters that you wouldn't normally fight. You can lose people. You can actually have people join your little party and walk around with you, and then have other characters interact with them too. So it's a pretty fairly capable mesh of different, you know, dialogue, skills, and
This sounds just like Disco Elysium.
It may well be. This game came out, I think, in 2021, so I don't know. Yeah, originally September of 2021, so it's not too old, less than 2 years. But is probably, I mean, I get the, I would believe you that it's the same thing. And it's not very combat-based. There are combat elements, but it's usually resolved by dialogue choice. You know, it's those same kinds of things.
On Steam, the top similar item is Disco Elysium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is sort of like that. So for somebody like Jared, who is into Disco Elysium, this might be something to pursue. It's not that expensive. It gets middling reviews. Again, there are kind of some, it's very ambitious as far as the dialogue and options and all those things. But it also, sometimes it'll be like, actually, I didn't know that bit of information that this person was acting on just now. And so there are a few little issues with it. And actually, the developer has recently released a kind of new game plus or additional content for it as well. So there's a lot to do. And I get the feeling that you could probably, just like in Disco Elysium, replay the game in a lot of different ways. And because it's very particular about locking you into things, I bet you could have, you know, fairly different experiences as you go through and replay it. Again, the overall vibe is like, a little bit too indie, like kind of low budge, you know, but not terribly bad. And if you're into interactive fiction,
I think Disco Elysium felt that way too.
I suspect so. I think it's just,
but the story was with the character stuff and the dialogue.
Yeah, and I remember choices. People like the humor and stuff like that. I guess in Disco Elysium was pretty good too. This doesn't really have that humor element to it, and but it does for people who are into, like, you know, those choose your own adventure or interactive dialogue based adventure games. This really hits that, and it's pretty capable as far as that goes. So again, I played it on for free as it was given out on the Epic Game Store a couple weeks ago.
I also have it on Game Epic. Whatever.
And not bad. And part of the reason I'm playing it this week is that, video game music on vinyl, the soundtrack to this, which so far has not been notable to me, but this weekend is Record Store Day. And so this is one of the two video game vinyl scores that's coming out this coming weekend. Game Deck. And the
what
other
is
one,
the other one?
The other one is Wingspan, which is a game based on a board game.
Okay.
So it's based on some sort of bird watching board game, and they made a digital version of that. So the soundtrack for that, and I'll see if I can snag both of those, because I do also collect board game soundtracks on vinyl, and so Wingspan will sort of bridge that video game board game collection for me. So, yeah.
Well, maybe I will go to Record Store Day.
Yeah,
where are you going? Are you going to Graywell?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to show up.
What else is there? Where else is there?
Around here, I think there are a couple, but not any that I've really been to.
So you're just going
to
do it online then?
Yeah, usually I'll just find it online. And a lot of times those places will prioritize in-person sales, and then if there's stuff left, you can order it. But usually for the stuff I'm looking for, not many people are, so I usually get what I'm after. Mm. So anyhow, that's Game Deck.
All right. Game Deck. Game Detective.
Detective.
I've got some new releases here, courtesy of tech-gaming.com. First up on the list, Renfield, Bring Your Own Blood. This is a there's a new Nicolas Cage movie coming out called Renfield, where he's Dracula, basically.
Yeah.
And this is a Vampire Survivors like movie tie-in. It's $5. Minecraft Legends is out on Game Pass today, actually. I have it installed. I haven't tried it out yet.
I'm trying to decide if I'm interested. There was what was the other Minecraft Minecraft Dungeons. Yeah, and I played that, and it was okay.
That game was boring.
It reminded me of Diablo, so.
It was just slow and boring.
Yeah, so I don't know how this is materially different, but.
Well, it plays more like an RTS, a console RTS.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about that.
A little bit different, yeah. Yep. Also, the Final Fantasy Pixel remasters have been out on PC for a while. They're now coming to Switch and the PlayStation, so this is Final Fantasy 1 through 6.
Decent.
And I think it's like $80 for all of them. So, I mean, Final Fantasy nerds pay that.
Yeah, I think I've played my old Final Fantasies mostly.
I own Final Fantasy VI in about 18 locations, so I think I need to buy it again probably. So I'll probably do that.
Yep.
Mega Man Battle Network collections. There's like a legacy collection for Mega Man Battle Network. These are the DS games. I think it was only on DS, right? There's three or four of them.
There might have been something on console too.
They got to the point where they were like releasing like two versions, like Pokemon, whenever they came out. There was like Omega White and Super Red or whatever.
Not feel like this was a good. I don't know. There are people out there who I know love Mega Man Battle Network, but for me, it's like I have zero interest. Yeah, and I don't.
They're
regret
okay.
It.
Yeah. Outside of that, we got some new Destiny guns that are coming out. Meat Grinder. This is a shotgun, double barrel shotgun.
Absolutely.
The Meat Grinder. We also have Beyond the Long Night.
Ooh.
That's coming out.
That's
a new gun.
Probably an assault rifle. It's been a while since we've seen an assault rifle.
Yeah. Cannon Dancer. Cannon Dancer.
It's
coming out.
A grenade launcher.
And finally, is it wrong to repay the debt in a dungeon? new Destiny gun coming out. I think it's a sword.
Probably a sword. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's Game Pass stuff coming and going this month in Game Pass. This is the rest of April. We have Coffee Talk Episode 2, whatever that is, Medieval Dynasty, which has already been out. It's just now coming to Game Pass. Homestead Arcana, which I don't know what that is. Cassette Beasts, which is also a Destiny gun. Blaze Blue Crosstag Special Battle Edition. Whatever, it's a fighting game,
yeah.
And finally, the one that I'm actually interested in, The Last Case of Benedict Fox, which I believe they showed at E3?
I feel like that could
maybe
be
it was
Destiny
at the Keeley's.
It was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty good, so I'd recommend watching a trailer. It's got some dark, like, it's like post-World War I vibes with, like, Eldritch horror stuff going on. Anyway,
it's kind of cool.
Looks kind of cool. Also, Game Pass games leaving at the end of the month. Bugsnax, sorry. Get your bug snacks on.
Can't sing the song anymore.
That's right. Destroy All Humans, Tetris Effect Connected, and Unsold. I would recommend people check out Tetris Effect if you have not before it goes away.
That's a great version of Tetris. Absolutely.
It is a good one. You can play through it all in a few hours and play at least see all the levels and all the
And they stuff. Released those update levels for the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the little themes like 1989 levels. Yeah,
that might be fun to see. So that's what's coming there. And outside of that, I don't think I have anything else really.
That's kind of it. Well, we got some news, a little bit of news. There's like a lot of little news. So there's not a lot that's like, you know, really blowing up the internet or anything. But it is kind of sending shockwaves through the video game world that Sega has made a current cutting edge, really important acquisition for a really big amount of money. Sega is acquiring Rovio, which is the makers of Angry Birds, for 706 million euros, because now is the time. Angry Birds more relevant than ever at this time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I can't wait for the feature film.
What else has Rovio done? Birds on its own is not worth that much.
There's the piggies, whatever the evil piggies were thing. You build stuff.
Mm.
But
this is the dumb website. Games. All right, Rovio Games. I'm gonna read them down here.
Okay.
Angry Birds. Mm-hmm. Angry Birds Journey. Mm-hmm. Angry Birds 2. Mm-hmm. Angry Birds Dream Blast. Angry Birds Friends. Angry Birds Reloaded. Angry Birds Pop. Angry Birds Match. Darkfire Heroes. That sounds like one of those build your little crew and have them auto fight.
You know, I want to say that, I feel like that was one that they made and then closed because it wasn't Angry Birds. And it seems like Rovio closed something recently that was.
Well, it's still. This is a game like Clash Royale. That's what this game is. Outside of that, let's see. Oh, dang it.
What about Bad Piggies? Bad Piggies is not even in the list.
I haven't gotten there yet, man.
Really? Is it that long? Oh.
Darkfire Heroes, Small Town Murders. This is a puzzly, looks like a narrative-based puzzly game. A Sugar Blast. I wonder what that is. It's a candy.
Not like
the
Candy
Mash
Crush.
3. The Mash 3. That's it. That's all it's on here. What did you say it was called?
Bad Piggies. It's like not, the.
It sounds
the,
made
it's
up.
Made, no, no, no. It's based on the pigs that are the ones that
Bad
the birds are so
piggies.
Angry about.
Maybe Rovio didn't make that. Oh, they did. Developer Rovio Entertainment.
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe
it's not on their website.
The list is long. So maybe Sega did make a good purchase decision here.
Well, I mean, how relevant are Angry Birds still?
Listen, just wait until they make the smash new feature film based on the Angry Birds. No, I'm just kidding. They already have one. But I tell you what, if you make that joke on the internet, everybody flies in to correct you that there's already an Angry Birds movie. But.
Subsidiaries Ruby Games. What is Ruby Games?
I don't think we're going to find anything that's going to like blow us away. I think it's just this is one of those situations where, you know, this is a company that real gamers have kind of decided is no longer relevant. And Sega sees an opportunity there.
Ruby Games made Hunter Assassin 2, Wordus, which is like Wordle. It's called Wordus. And Football Life. Good job, guys.
You know, for,
Angry
for
oh, here's, the, here's the here's Bad Piggies. Angry Birds Star Wars. They did a crude the Croods game.
Well, there was also Angry Birds Go. They had like a cart-based
Angry
game.
Birds Go, yeah. Kart racer. Angry Birds Epic, Stella, Angry Birds Transformers, Angry Birds Pop, Nibbler's Love Rock starring Shakira.
Wow. Well, anyhow, cool, so that's what that's the biggest new acquisition. The antitrust lawsuits shortly to be filed to prevent this between Sonic the Hedgehog and Red the Bird from Angry Birds.
These guys have been around for a long time making games prior to Angry Birds. They did a game for the Nokia in 2010.
Yeah,
Nokia
I believe,
N97.
I want to say Rovio is from Finland, I think. I think they're one of those studios.
Weird, man.
Anyway, that's the best I could find as far as like big, you know, rumbling news for this week. But LeGrand, that is not all we've got because we still have a whole load of stuff on the new speedrun. Start that music, Jeremy.
There's a lot on the speedrun.
There is a lot on the speedrun.
There's a lot here.
My method, just for those who ask, is that now I just load everything into the speedrun, and if anybody feels strongly, then we elevate that up to have more discussion.
But I didn't read through any of these.
That's all right. Well, I made them nice and concise.
Super Mario Brothers movie is now the highest grossing video game movie ever. Mm-hmm. They've made over $700 million internationally. If they make $1 billion, I think they'll make $1 billion, probably will, right?
I wonder, so everybody keeps talking about it as the biggest video game grossing movie, but I wonder where it is on the, is it even in the top 10 yet as far as, probably not yet, if it's only $700 million.
Animated movie, I believe it's the top, right?
Of all?
Or getting there. Or
I mean, top, if that, well, see,
top,
that's what
top
I wonder.
Opening weekend, I
at
believe.
Some, yes, I, that sounds familiar.
Super Mario.
And their second week, it's still up above 90 million in the U.S. So people like it. People like bad.
Have you seen
movies.
It yet? Oh, you saw it.
Yeah,
you
I don't like it. It's no good.
Anyway, I don't have any information.
That's
there.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, it's making a lot of money. Guys, the Playdate, that is the crank-based handheld that I believe I predicted would be awesome. Is currently selling double its original expectations, and people are loving their crank-based gameplay on this.
I still want one of these. The games are way too expensive, though.
Yeah, so the specific number, 53,000 units has been sold, and they only expected to sell half of that.
Yeah, they opened like a storefront now where you can actually buy games now, and
is there a crank mechanic on all of them? I mean, are they really? Somebody needs to do like a...
I mean, you don't have to use the crank. I mean, there's also buttons on the thing. There's two buttons and a D-pad, right?
But then you might as well, I don't know. It's like, then you need the crank. I mean, it's one of those things that's kind of got itself pigeonholed.
That's the thing, right? That's the thing with
I know.
The Playdate.
I know.
What are they,
Why is
what
it
are
called,
called
the Playdate? Have... Like, that's a weird name for a crank-based handheld, too. I don't know.
What would you call it?
I don't know.
Danky Crank?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Danky Crank. That's right.
Games. Catalog. Core Fault.
Hey, by the way,
$6 for this.
Here's the thing. Last year in 2022, now I'm exempt from this year, but in 2022 I predicted that the crank based handheld would tank. I thought it would be the Tanky Crank.
The Tanky Crank, Cranky Tank.
Tanky Crank. Yeah.
$200 for one of these damn things.
It's you know, I could do a lot.
I want one, but I don't know if I want $200.
Apparently 53,000 people are willing to pay $200 for a crank-based game.
Good for them.
Yep.
Marvel Move is an upcoming running app that gives you encouragement from superheroes.
You know, I have to say they showed a trailer for this today, and it's like a lot of people like running, and it's like, you know, Iron Man is telling you can do it. Run, just run another half mile. and I thought for like a split second, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Cause they have, you know, I saw a voice actor who was going to play Cyclops and stuff like that. And I guess it's going to be like storytelling and like, oh no, the Sentinels are going to get you or whatever. And I thought for split second, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea. But then I was like, you know what? I can listen to any podcast I want. You know, and I probably do just as well, but
they had something like this that was like zombie themed where zombies were chasing you and you had to run from them. I think they had something like that.
I can appreciate it. I don't know that it's like a great idea, but I like in sort of the same sense that Pokemon Go and whatever, they get people outside. I approve of the general idea, but I don't know.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah. Hey, Maple Story developer Nexon, which actually I just loaded up Maple Story for the first time this past week.
What?
Yeah.
It's like 50 years old.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, everybody talks about it kind of in the same way that people like Mega Man Battle Network. There is a, you know, people of that age sort of like Maple Story. And I thought I would try it out because it was, you know, for free. But anyway, Nexon, who is, you know, most known, I think, for MapleStory, is suing a developer over a game called Dark and Darker, saying that its code and assets were stolen by this developer, Iron Mace. Iron Mace is, you know, kind of fighting back a little bit, but they've also put the entire game available for free on a torrent. Just while this is going on, they're protesting by making their game available to everybody.
All right. Ubisoft Plus is now available on the Xbox consoles.
Nice.
And it costs $18 a month.
Not nice.
So it's the same price as whatever, but you only get Ubisoft games.
Yeah.
Which...
It's more expensive than Game Pass, isn't it?
That's the thing. It's like Ubisoft games are historically, they drop in price like way quick. Like bargains on Ubisoft games.
Yeah.
And so I don't know the value of Ubisoft Plus really because...
They hit,
man,
that, they hit that $20.
For $18 a month, I could probably buy like four Assassin's
yeah,
Creed games.
You could. Yeah, you could.
Anyway, whatever. It's on Xbox now.
Well, here's one for the LeGrand File. Another Trine game is on the way later this year as Trine 5, A Clockwork Conspiracy, gets a trailer. I also am a Trine fan, so I'm happy about this.
I didn't like the 3D one, but the last 2D one, remember I talked about it on the show where it just kind of ended abruptly?
Yeah, like it just stopped, like they stopped working on it.
I'm down for more Trine. I like those games.
Yeah, me too.
A lot.
Pretty good.
Michael Barclay, who was previously at Free Radical, is now a lead at Naughty Dog. And he says, I'm reading your headline here. I'm going to click on this thing because I don't know about your headline writing.
All right.
Oh, their headline's just as bad. This is an article on PCGamer.com. I'm just going to read the headline. Lead designer at Naughty Dog says Star Wars Battlefront 3 was, quote, legit incredible. And LucasArts canceling it was, quote, an absolute crime against humanity.
Yeah,
I have that part.
I remember that the stuff they showed with like Dark Obi-Wan and stuff like that. Do you remember that when they were showing stuff that was from production? And so apparently it was going to be really good. And this guy who now is a creative lead at Naughty Dog is in an interview. They asked him, "Well, what's the one that got away?" And he said, "You know, that Battlefront 3, man. We should have got that." So,
yeah.
Well, there's more drama over in Bungie territory for Destiny, as Bungie has confirmed that it has irrefutable evidence of a popular streamer who has leaked confidential information several times. We are now regrettably announcing that our new DestinyGuns.com has been silenced, so sorry, guys.
Well, You know, I think it's worth it. I think we're going to risk it.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. But that actually is true. So
it's worth it.
Apparently they have nailed this guy down, and he is protesting his innocence, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's the dumb part about NDAs. They're dumb. They're fine. The whole concept of everyone wanting to be super quiet about don't let people know that we're
here's
making
the thing.
New
never,
Elder Scrolls game.
Never tell. This is a life tip here from Jeremy. Never tell anyone anything that you don't want everyone to know, because that's how it works.
I agree. I can agree with that. So there's lots of Bowsers in our lives. We have Doug Bowser.
Maybe your boss is a Bowser in your life.
We have Bowser, Jack Black Bowser.
Uh-huh.
And we have, who's this guy? Gary Bowser.
Yeah.
This is the dude who was indicted and sent to prison, I guess, federal prison, because of the hacking or the
ROMs he was putting on their website.
The ROM hack stuff he was doing for Nintendo, game, and Nintendo basically prosecuted him and put him in jail for it. Apparently he is being released from prison, but he still has to pay Nintendo like millions of dollars. $14.5 million is owed, which means so the agreement with this guy is that the maximum they can take is 25-30% of his gross monthly income, which basically means he's probably going to be paying Nintendo for the rest of his life.
That's, you know what? That's almost the same as like a Switch Online subscription. You can just
But without shitty Game Boy games.
Yeah.
The 6 Game Boy games that are on there, it's pathetic.
I know. Well, that's exactly the thing. I mean, it's like the same thing. So, you know, whatever. Hey, a new multiplayer Quidditch game is coming from Portkey Studios. There's an open sign up that you can get to play open beta this weekend. However, there is some controversy. Well, people said, I mean, you played Hogwarts Legacy. You'd like to play Quidditch in Hogwarts Legacy, right?
No, I wouldn't.
A lot of people would, but the controversy is that a lot of people said, well, it should have been included in Hogwarts Legacy. Now, the developers have gone on record to say, you know, it just wasn't going to happen, so I think, and that's probably true. Like, I'm not a big believer that, you know, game development studios are, you know, necessarily overtly malicious in that way, but, you know, this is a thing that is happening, so I guess we'll see how it goes. I signed up for it. I'll see if I get to play it, and maybe I'll talk about it next week.
Is Quidditch that exciting of a game? Is it?
Well, I mean, here's how I think about it. Because the other thing is MLB came out again this, you know, MLB 23. And I thought about, like, playing it. Because it's not that I like baseball, but I usually have fun playing sports games. So Quidditch is just like that. Like, I could take MLB or Quidditch.
Yeah, but it's not really a game. Is it? I don't know. I guess at Comic-Con,
Rocket League a game?
People get dressed up and ride broomsticks around and throw balls at each other at Comic-Con.
I mean,
so that happens.
You have described pretty close to just about every sport, really.
I guess you're right. I just don't know enough about Quidditch.
The only one that I played, because there was like a Quidditch World Cup game on like the PlayStation 1, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It all took place on one plane, though. But it basically, you know, had the rules of Quidditch. But
they should make it play like that super giant game with the basketballs.
Super giant game with
what
basketballs?
What was that game called? It was called
Super
gosh,
Giant that
dude.
Did like Bastion and
yes, what's their game called? What is their game
basketballs.
Called?
Basketballs. Transistor, Pyre. Was it Pyre? That's the one I never played. I actually haven't played it, and I always look
it's
at it
one.
Like I'm going to play. I remember you talked about it on the show at one point.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The soundtrack's good. The story's good. The gameplay's good. It's a fun game.
Nice.
It's a fun game. My turn. 2,400 Steam accounts were restricted for marking a negative review as helpful. What is the story behind this?
The review was negative because the game started to install a stay resident anti-cheat software, and so the review that was negative that said, hey, this is bad, also included the registry keys that you would delete in order to turn it off, which I guess violates Steam's terms of service, and so people who were thumbing that up were restricted for thinking that the review was helpful. Yeah, like, it's weird.
It was helpful.
I know, but apparently those accounts got restricted for thinking so. So.
And why? What's the reasoning behind them getting restricted?
Because Valve. I don't know.
That's
anyway,
kind of funny.
Cliffy B, Cliff Blazinski, has teased new information on Twitter about his defunct game Lawbreakers. He says that he got an interesting text from his lawyer about it. So this game that, by all accounts, was not bad, but just did not come at the right time or whatever and went away, apparently may be coming back at some point. We'll see.
Huh. Came out at the wrong, a bad time, I guess.
Yeah, I think right? So. And that doesn't mean that the time now is any better, but Cliff thinks he's got something.
It is not, by the way.
We'll see what happens.
Former Halo creative director Joseph Staten has joined Netflix Games to produce a AAA multi-platform game on an original IP by Netflix Games.
It's going to be a dude in a forest with a grappling hook, and he's going to fight, like, I don't know, aliens or something. Yeah, hey,
Whatever, it's fine.
Here's one for...
This dude got paid a lot of money to go to Netflix, yeah. And... he's going to make the most of it.
Good gig if you can get it. Hey, for the Everybody But Jeremy file, Diablo 4 has gone gold, so it is drawing near.
Gone gold used to mean that they were pressing discs and pressing cartridges, and now what does gone gold mean?
Well, I think it still means the same thing, but fewer people care.
And they're still working on it. You're telling me they're not doing anything to Diablo 4 between now and June 6th?
Well, the idea is that they have identified a release 1.0 version of the game that will...
that will be patched like 8 times between now and release.
Right. But it's a thing.
Anyway, Gone Gold doesn't mean anything anymore.
Hey, sorry. A live-action Paramount Plus TV show starring Knuckles the Echidna will come out later this year. Spin-off from the Sonic the Hedgehog movie Part 2. The
there
cast
be
has been announced,
here.
And there are some people in it. Technically, the people who they've announced for this are from things. I don't know who they are, so Idris Elba will be reprising his role as Knuckles the Echidna. Adam Pally and as...
Was Knuckles in Sonic 2, the movie?
Yeah, it was like a big, huge part of it. Like, because Jim Carrey was all like, oh, I'm good. Oh, really? You didn't see it? It's all right. It's not bad. It's okay.
I didn't see the first one either.
It's as good or better than the Super Mario movie, in my opinion.
Who is Ellie Taylor from Ted Lasso? Who's that? Ted Lasso is great, by the way. Ellie Taylor. Oh, I know who that is. Okay, cool. All right, nice. Whatever. That sounds good. Someone from Game of Thrones. Who's that? Rory McCann. Who's this guy? Oh, it's the freaking The Mountain's brother, the Hound, Sander Clegane.
Oh.
Anyway, cool. Nice. Daedalic Entertainment will sell DLC for the Lord of the Rings Gollum, so that you hear a lot more Sindarin Elvish from professionally trained Sindarin voice actors. I believe that was Flair from Jeremy, yeah?
No, actually, Sindarin is the actual canonical language of the Wood Elves. Sindarin. So the thing
when
is
this game out?
I don't know. Actually, this is still like to me. I still think this is probably something that should have been canceled a couple of years ago. The Lord of the Rings Gollum. I don't know, but maybe
it'll
be good.
Says they trained voice actors in that language.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Maybe you know. Some nerds out there are interested in that.
I thought this game, this picture that I'm looking at on this article on Eurogamer, it looks kind of super artsy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this game was more realistic.
No, I think it is. They showed a trailer actually just a few days ago.
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer.
It's all CGI and stuff.
Is this game supposed to be?
It follows you play as Gollum, the main character, and it kind of follows the events between the Fellowship of the Ring leading up to the Fellowship of the Ring and maybe then interspersed
between
throughout.
The Hobbit and the Fellowship?
Yeah. And then,
but the ring's gone because Bilbo's got it.
Right, so you don't have the ring as Gollum. So it's like all of the, you know, like...
So what is he doing? He's just stuck in a cave and pissed off.
Well, no, he is going around looking for the ring and stuff, and then, like, they capture him and torture him. Remember? Because that's how they find out where the ring is, because he's, like, Shire Baggins. So he's doing stuff, and so they're sort of filling in the, you know, the narrative meat, I guess, on those thin Gollum bones.
Are they trying to present him as, like, an
kind
anti-hero?
Kind of a sympathetic character.
Or...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't...
No, I
maybe
know.
Maybe it's just like viewing some sort of other Lord of the Rings story, but from the eyes of this, you know, dude that kind of lives in the shadows. You know
kinda.
What I mean? Like,
I think so. I mean, it'll be something like that, but it'll be out, yeah. I think, in the next couple months, I think.
I hope it's awesome.
I do too. Like, I never hope that a game is bad, but I just look at it and I'm like, you know, I just don't know. I like Daedalic Entertainment. They've actually done quite a few games that I...
What have they done?
Well, the one that comes to mind immediately, they do a lot of adventure games. So they did one called The Whispered World that I really liked. They've done The Eye of Satanav, I think. They do...
How come I don't know any of these?
They're like European. They do... I don't know. They do weird adventure games.
That must be why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know any of these guys.
Yeah.
Any of these games. None of them.
Well, guys, that is going to do it for our speed run. That is going to do it for this episode of your Game By Show podcast. I want to thank you very much for making it to the end with us. If you have any thoughts about the games that we've played, if you want to share with us the games that you've played, come find us. The best place to find us is on our Discord server. You can find a link to that over at GameByteShow.com, where you'll find also the Podbean-based syndication of our podcast, and all kinds of cool links are found there. Of course, you can follow us also at youtube.com/GameByteShow, where you can see this thing done live as it happens. Add some items in the chat, talk to us live as we do this if you like. If not, that's fine, we're around. Generally, we'll be back at this time to do many more game impressions, video game news, speedrun, and of course those new leaked Destiny guns, which we swear in the face of Bungie, we will continue. You cannot silence the leaked new Destiny2Guns.com.
Nope. Slash. Not going to happen.
All of that. We are firm on this. You can't silence an idea.
We're not afraid. Our lawyers are ready.
That's right. That's right. Come at us. Come at us. That is going to do it for this episode of your Game Byte Show podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.
See ya. Thank you.